Scene 4. Christmas music. Choral. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Sung by an onstage choir of children, spotlighted downstage center. Above, Scrooge in his bed, dead to the world, asleep in his darkened room. It should appear that the choir is singing somewhere outside of the house, of course, and a use of scrim is thus suggested. When the singing is ended, the choir should fade out of view, and Marley should fade into view in their place. Directly to audience.
From this point forth, I shall be quite visible to you, but invisible to him. He will feel my presence, nevertheless, for unless my senses fail me completely, we are, you and I, witness to the changing of a miser. That one, my partner in life, in business, and in eternity. That one, Scrooge.
Moves to staircase below Scrooge.
See him now. He endeavors to pierce the darkness with his ferret eyes.
To audience.
See him now. He listens for the hour.
The bells toll. Scrooge is awakened and quakes as the hour approaches 1 o'clock, but the bells stop their sound at the hour of 12.
Midnight! Why, this isn't possible! It was past 2 when I went to bed. An icicle must have gotten into the clock's works. I couldn't have slept through the whole day and far into another night. It isn't possible that anything has happened to the sun. And this is 12 at noon.
He runs to window, unshutters same. It is night.
Night still. Quiet. Normal for the season. Cold. It is certainly not noon. I cannot in any way afford to lose my days. Securities come due. Promissory notes. Interest on investments. These are things that happen in the daylight.
He returns to his bed.
Was this a dream?
Marley appears in his room. He speaks to the audience.
You see, he does not with faith believe in me fully, even still. Whatever will it take to turn the faith of a miser from money to men?
Another quarter and it'll be 1. And Marley's ghosty friends will come.
Pauses, listens.
Where's the chime for 1?
Ding dong.
1:15. 1:30. 1:45. But where's the heavy bell of the hour, 1?
This is a game in which I lose my senses. Perhaps if I allowed myself another short doze.
Doze, Ebenezer. Doze.
A heavy bell thuds its 1 ring, dull and definitely 1 o'clock. There's a flash of light. Scrooge sits up in a sudden. A hand draws back the curtains by his bed. He sees it.
A hand! Who owns it? Hello?
Ghostly music again, but of a new nature to the play. A strange figure stands before Scrooge, like a child, yet at the same time like an old man. White hair, but unwrinkled skin. Long, muscular arms, but delicate legs and feet. Wears white tunic, lustrous belt cinches waist, branch of fresh green holly in its hand, but has its dress trimmed with fresh summer flowers. Clear jets of light spring from the crown of its head, holds cap in hand. The spirit is called Past.
Are you the spirit, sir, whose coming was foretold to me?
I am. Does he take this to be a vision of his greengrocer?
Who and what are you?
I am the ghost of Christmas Past.
Long past.
Your past.
May I ask, please?
please, sir. What business you have here with me?
Your welfare.
Not to sound ungrateful, sir, and really, please do understand that I am plenty obliged for your concern, but really, kind spirit, it would have done all the better for my welfare to have been left alone altogether, to have slept peacefully through this night.
Your reclamation, then? Take heed!
My what?
Motioning to Scrooge and taking his arm.
Rise! Fly with me!
He leads Scrooge to the window.
Fly? But I am immortal and cannot fly!
Pointing to his heart.
Bear but a touch of my hand here, and you shall be upheld in more than this.
Scrooge touches the spirit's heart, and the lights dissolve into sparkly flickers. Lovely crystals of music are heard. The scene dissolves into another. Christmas music again.